Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
I don't know if you're planning to travel. I'm in that point where I'm thinking, like, there's that vacations, all those vacations I put off. You know, we're going to go to Japan. That's probably not going to happen. We had some other trips that we were planning, maybe a Mexico trip or something like that. I don't know. That's not in the all too distant future. I mean, it's not that all the far away. So, you know, let's talk about some of the things happening, because yesterday there was an important new rule that went into effect. If you do an international travel, that you got to show your negative coronavirus test to board your flight home. That's the new guideline from the CDC. They're warning you, don't plan on doing this unless you're going to do that as well. Peter Greenberg is the travel editor for CBS News. He's also Saturdays 1 to 4 here on WGN Radio and kind enough to join us this afternoon. Peter, how you doing?
I'm hanging in. Yeah, yesterday was an important day, the 26th of January. That's when that new CDC rule kicked in. But that's just the beginning. There's more stuff coming. And so anybody who wants to come back anywhere in the world to the United States, and that includes Americans, has to be able to provide a proof of a negative COVID-19 test taken within 72 hours of the time your flight is departing.
Okay, you just came back from Mexico. How did that work for you personally as you went through doing this?
Well, I came back from Mexico, believe it or not, on Sunday night, the 24th. So I came in under that gun. But anything after that, all bets are off. I'm going to have to perform a negative test on myself or get it done just like everybody else.
Okay. I just wonder how that works in Mexico or in another country when you maybe don't speak the language that
well,
you don't know the system.
I'll tell you what's happening, which is very interesting, what the private sector is doing. They're moving very quickly to pivot on this. So, for example, we mentioned Mexico. There are a number of resorts in Mexico, in the Turks and Caicos in the Caribbean. Hyatt Hotels is doing this now in Latin America and the Caribbean. But they're providing free COVID-19 tests that are the acceptable tests, the PCR tests, to their guests. And then in the case of Mexico, should you test positive, this resort will actually put you up for 14 days at their expense while you quarantine. So what they're trying to do is to react as quickly as they can to the CDC rule and at the same time provide, for lack of a better term, destination assurance for those of us who, you know, want to go, but we don't want to get stuck and not be able to come home.
Yeah, that's for sure. Or get stuck trying to be in the process of figuring out in a foreign country how that might work and getting in line to do that. It just seems like it could be pretty difficult to manage.
Well, it's actually getting easier and easier. For example, a month and a half ago, I was in Istanbul, and we were going over to do one of my television shows in Croatia, which does require that negative COVID test. My hotel had a facility in the hotel.
Wow.
And they did it, and I had results in 10 hours. I mean, so they're figuring it out.
It's like a hotel amenity now. I guess that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Not only is it a hotel amenity, it's used as an incentive to get you to go there in the first place, because it's basically telling you, it's okay, we got you covered on the way home.
How's travel going? I know you monitor this kind of thing. Have we seen some sort of an increase? I know there's been a surge nationwide in cases. I don't know if that would correspond with a travel urge, but maybe people are. And I just wonder, as you look at the trend line, Peter, what are you seeing here?
Well, we did see a surge, obviously, during Thanksgiving and over the Christmas holidays. Even though the CDC recommended strongly to Americans not to do that, they did it anyway. And then, of course, 3 to 4 weeks later, we're seeing a surge in cases. One of the things that the Biden administration is considering right now is to add to that CDC rule on the COVID-19 test for people coming overseas to America and saying, if you want to get on an airplane in America to go anywhere in America, you're going to have to show proof of a negative COVID-19 test within 72 hours. Now, if that happens, and I understand the public health implications, but if that happens, that's really going to hurt the airlines initially, because you can't just say on a Friday, hey, let's go someplace over the weekend. It's going to take away whatever spontaneity is left in terms of travel.
And then what do you see in terms, do you think summertime things will kind of open up again? What is that sort of date you've circled on the calendar where you think things will sort of be not where they were certainly a year ago, but kind of getting back to normal? What do you think, Peter?
I'm confident that by the end of March, early April, as we get into the second quarter, that you're going to have an intersection of a much more widespread distribution of the vaccine, implementation of much more reliable, rapid response testing, and of course the intersection being with the huge pent-up demand in travel, that you're going to see a noticeable rise in responsible travel, but people are going to be traveling. And you're seeing that with the airlines right now. A lot of airlines that are catering to vacation travelers, not business travelers. You know, Frontier, Spirit, Southwest, Allegiant, Sun Country are adding route after route after route at a time when you think, why would you add routes? They're preparing for the second quarter.
So we're hearing, you were talking about the, and that's interesting to hear, but you're talking about back to the negative test results that you have to produce. I had heard for a while there, and we had talked about this months back, that there might be a vaccine passport that's required. I don't know if you're hearing about that. I wonder if you can show that you have the vaccine, would you still need a negative test?
Well, you've asked two very interesting questions there. The first one is, yes, that vaccination passport is coming. You already had one airline in Australia, Qantas, making an official announcement saying, when we start flying again, you can't board the plane without showing proof of vaccination. I'm positive that this is going to turn the cruise industry around. They're going to have the same approach. Basically, you can't get on a cruise ship unless you can show proof of vaccination. So what we need here is, as the technology develops, to get some kind of a document that can be easily read on a universal level, that can be updated electronically as your medical condition changes or your vaccination status changes, and that can't be forged. And once that happens, you'll be using that to go to a restaurant. You'll be using that to go to the dry cleaner. You'll be using that to go to a theme park or go to the airport. It's not out of the realm of possibility. We'll get used to it like we take our shoes off at security checkpoints. That is coming. How fast it gets here is remains to be seen, only because we got to make sure that it's universally acceptable, that everybody has a reader that can read it, and it can't be forged.
Yeah. Interesting, too, did you see the TripAdvisor had its, I think it was the Traveler's Choice Awards, the most popular destinations in the world. They broke it down based on, you know, the United States and the world, but they also looked at where people are looking to go in terms of their dream vacation that they're saving when they go on TripAdvisor, or places they're actually traveling to. Chicago was 15th on the list of United States cities, New York, Maui, Las Vegas. I see a lot of Hawaii in this list, in the top 10 represented.
Yeah, not surprising. Hawaii's always in the top 10 list, even pre-pandemic. People are looking for social distancing. They're looking to get outdoors. They're looking, you know, to be able to be physically active without having to stand in the line. And for the moment, Hawaii fills that bill.
Yeah, it does. It's interesting to see some of the big cities in America were on that list, New York being number one, Chicago 15. But in between, a lot of Hawaii, Key West, Florida, places you wouldn't be surprised, New Orleans, Las Vegas, is that coming back? Las Vegas is number three on the list.
Well, it may be on everybody's dream list because they're addicted to Las Vegas. Las Vegas is not coming back as fast as Las Vegas would like to come back. They still have issues, not just with cases, but with basic floor plan and design of how to give you an experience that is designed for large social gatherings and shared experience and try to do it a different way. That's a tough challenge.
Yeah, it is. Gatlinburg, Tennessee, please explain it, because that was one of the top trending emerging destination in the United States. I mean, people were searching for it. They were looking into it. It also made the global list of places that people are looking at to travel to. Gatlinburg, Tennessee, I'd never been there. Why is that so high on the list?
Well, I've been there, and the only thing that would make sense about why it would make the list is because of its proximity to a lot of national and state parks. You know, social distancing again.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense. Is that RV trend still strong? I know friends who are looking into renting Sprinter vans that you can stay on the actual van, and those are huge, expensive, and sometimes hard to get.
Well, it was certainly big this past summer. It's going to build up again after Easter. Because it operates, you know, it lets people have their own self-contained quarantine mobiles. You know, they don't have to go out to dinner. They're only stopping for gas and groceries, and they're staying in the RV. Now, you also have to know how to drive the RV.
Right.
Small minor detail. And my suggestion to anybody who wants to rent one, as great an idea as it is, and by the way, it's not a bad idea at all, please take the proper time to take the driving tests and the lessons offered at the dealership, or one bad right turn and bye-bye.
You warned us about that months back. Every time I see one of those on the road, Peter, I'm telling you, I get away from it. I get in a different lane. I don't want to be near it because I don't know if this is the amateur driver that you're warning us about, because it's important to think about that. Hey, the other thing I want to ask you about is Zoom towns. This is something that emerged during the pandemic where families whose kids were learning remotely, whose jobs suddenly went remotely, they went remote. They went to other locations, and they kind of stayed there. They rented Airbnbs, and that was a real thing. I wonder, do you think that's a trend? What do you make of all that?
It's more than a trend. It represents sort of a radical shift in traveler behavior. You know, before the pandemic, people were picking their destinations based on either their bucket list or what they wanted over a seven-day period. That's out the window now. People are picking destinations based on work-life balance and social distancing and their ability in this environment of working remotely to make it happen affordably. I'll give you an example. Marriott, and I guarantee you Marriott didn't plan this, but about 2.5 years ago, they quietly amassed a portfolio of 16,000 vacation homes that Marriott manages, 10,000 of those homes in the U.S. And these are homes on lakes and beaches and rivers and deserts and mountains. They're great. You know, they're not piled up against each other. They average about $200 a night. They can sleep up to 10 people. So now let's do the math. We're seeing people moving in, as you just suggested, not for a week, but for 3 months. Mom and dad are working remotely. The kids are learning remotely. They're not spending time on a long commute every day on gas and just wasted time. They're cooking at home. They're not going out to dinner. They've got their social distancing. And then comes the financial aspect. If you've got a house that sleeps up to 10 people and it's $200 a night, well, let's do the math. That's $20 a night. You can't wake up in Sheboygan Falls for that. So the bottom line is it's a viable, affordable alternative. It may not be long-term, but it's certainly going to be with us for the year 2021.
Where are they going? Do you know? Is it just warm weather places? That's what I presume.
Not necessarily, no, because, you know, they're in Colorado up in the mountains. They're in the deserts, which get really cool at night in the winter. They're on the eastern seaboard near Nantucket, which is not exactly very warm today. No, it's within, and by the way, these are places within 3 and 4 hour drives of Chicago. So, it's a viable alternative. And if you're a frequent state junkie or a frequent flyer, you know, you can earn mileage or points with this stuff. And if you've got points lying around, you can use the points to get the house. So, for the moment, it's a buyer's market, and for the moment, it's a viable alternative to being at home in your regular location.
Yeah. Finally here, Peter, I just want to ask you, you know about the deals. If people are feeling comfortable traveling right now, maybe not internationally but domestically, what would you sort of suggest? What are you seeing out there that's just like super, super good price?
It's all the super good price. I mean, the airfare the other day, I flew between Fort Lauderdale and LaGuardia. I'm going to let you guess. What was my one-way fare on United Airlines?
One-way United, Fort Lauderdale. Out of Fort Lauderdale.
To LaGuardia, yeah.
To LaGuardia, New York area. Okay, $69, I'm going to say.
You're not going to the Showcase Showdown. You're way over. It was $18.
Over.
$18.
I thought I was going way low. $18. Oh, my God.
The cab ride was $69 to get to the airport.
Wow.
The airfare from New York to Los Angeles today, round trip, is $200. That's $100 each way. Last year at this time, it was $640. So that should give you an idea of what a buyer's market is. But I got to give you the caveat. It's not a question of the great deal or the safety, which I profess that you have on the plane because of the air circulation systems. It's the behavior of the people on the ground once you get there. And you better behave yourself and be situationally aware. You don't want to go into a super spreader event just because people are crammed into a bar that don't want to wear masks. You have to be your own best policeman here and do the right thing. And if you do that, you can travel responsibly and, as I just outlined to you, affordably.
Mm-hmm. And you're feeling comfortable on the planes. You've talked before about the measures they're taking. Can you just kind of reiterate some of that, Peter?
Well, sure. I mean, the high-energy particulate filters, the HEPA filters, are doing a great job. They always have, by the way. They're recirculating the air every 3 minutes. Takes out 99% of the particulates. I mean, you're getting a better deal in the air than you have even in your own home by a long shot. And so when I get on the plane, I don't wear one mask. I wear two. And then I have the air nozzle above me turned onto high, facing straight down. And I'm not on the plane to eat the food. I was never on the plane to eat the food before the pandemic. Let's not kid ourselves.
Right.
And I bring a good book. I got my headphones. I'm covered. And then The real key is, what are people doing? How are they behaving at the destination you're going? That's where you've got to do your homework, and that's where you have to adjust quickly if they're not behaving.
All right. I'll do my homework if it's $18 to fly somewhere. I really will. That's mind-boggling, Peter. All right. Thank you for the tips. Thanks for the info, as always. Appreciate the time.
You got it.
Talk to you soon, Peter. Peter Greenberg there. He is the travel editor for CBS News. He's also here on WGN Radio, Saturdays 1 to 4. Catch him there.